Welcome back, County Citizens. Today we are with Chad Stewart. Thank you for joining me.
Thank you.
So can you go ahead and tell us a little bit about Brittfield?
Yeah. It's interesting. I'm originally from Newport Beach, California. I was back east in Wellesley, Massachusetts for about 16 years. And I did my undergraduate in British literature, European history, and then went on to graduate school, MBA. And I got into investment banking about 12 years ago. And in a way, it really wasn't for me, as I think most trades or professions are for people. And I was just dying to do something creative. And I was sent down to this really boring seminar in Providence, Rhode Island that I had to go to. I think it was insurance. And I started to drift and I started to doodle. And I doodled a simple circle, three lines, a basket, a boy and a girl. And I wrote the boy in the balloon. And for some reason, that little doodle just really resonated with me. And I started to see this whole story come to light. And so I kind of like rushed home that weekend. And on one piece of paper, I just started to outline the story of Tom, an orphan, takes place in present time in England, up in Yorkshire, Northern England. And Tom's 12 years old, orphan. He's been an orphan his whole life. He's been at this horrible place called Weatherly Orphanage for 6 years. And this is the year he's going to escape, but he's not going anywhere without his best friend, Sarah. And so I kind of sat down and I just started to kind of outline this story about, you know, how they eventually escape from Weatherly Orphanage and they commandeer this hot air balloon, but they're chased by this illustrious detective, Gower Stone, based a little bit on Sherlock Holmes and a little bit on James Bond. And they kind of travel to Oxford, to Windsor, to London, and finally down to Canterbury. And so I sat down and started to write it. And I was really thinking something very simplistic, but all this stuff started to flow out of me. And so 4 years, 2,500 hours later, I produced Brittfield and the Lost Crown, 384-page, you know, adventure novel. And it's the first of a 7-book series that takes place in current time, travels the entire world. And I launched book two July 2021, Brittfield and the Rise of the Lion, which takes place in France. And then last year we launched book three, Brittfield and the Return of the Prince, which takes place in Italy, and Tom and Sarah 14. And so the series will travel the world. I'm working on book four now, Brittfield and the Eastern Empire, takes place in Eastern Europe and Russia. The book five will be in Asia, book six will be in South America, and book seven will come back to the United States. And really since we launched, so from concept to officially launching book one, it was 10 years. And we officially launched in August 2019. Since then, it's become a national bestseller. It's one of the most awarded books in children's fiction. And it's actually up in the top 1% of all books ever published within the same time frame. So it's been exciting. We kicked off a national school tour in August 2019. I traveled 9,000 miles, visited 23 states, over 200 schools, and presented in front of more than 40,000 students. So it's been an extraordinary ride. We're in the development process of the first of 7 major motion pictures right now. We can talk about that. And then we launched the Brittfield and Lost Crown theatrical play this year globally, and we piloted it last year. And it's designed specifically for elementary, middle schools, and even high schools.
Mm-hmm. Why did you design it specifically for that age group?
Yeah, it's interesting. I think it's such an incredible age. It's funny with the book series because our youngest reader is 7, our oldest reader is 93, and 55% of our reading audience are adults. And we're having worldwide impact, not just nationally, but globally. And we've received thousands of letters and feedback from all the way down to South Africa, New Zealand, Australia, Canada, Japan, Germany, England. It's been incredible. But I think it's such an important age, especially that kind of 10, 11, and 12 years old. And the books kind of grow in age. That's why it's really important with book one, Tom and Sarah 12. And it's such a vulnerable age. It's such an impactful mm-hmm. age. And so I really wanted to create a series that would engage the readers, but also, I mean, they're based on family, friendship, loyalty, and courage. I think what's great about the book series is I don't use any of the fictional devices such as witchcraft or demigods or superheroes or any of that. And so I try to make the books as authentic as possible. And I think as children are reading it, they're learning about history, geography, art, architecture, and culture. And we're also incorporating creativity, critical thinking, communication, and collaboration within every book. And so it was more than just entertaining them. It was engaging them and teaching them, if you will, values and you know, how to think, you know, and how to adapt mm-hmm. to certain situations and to brainstorm and to talk and to communicate. And it's been kind of a whirlwind impact that we're having right now.
It sounds like it. And it also sounds like it would be a great alternative to the Harry Potter series too for kids and families.
So that we often kind of use that as a watermark. I think it's the end or benchmark, but it's the entire difference of Harry Potter, where Harry Potter is really about, you know, a mystical world of witchcraft and spells. Britfield is based in reality. I mean, I make the books as authentic as possible. We do believe that we'll actually outsell Harry Potter in the next 10 years. That's what our trajectories look like right now, because we're having that big impact across all demographics. You know, it's mm-hmm. a fast-paced, fun book series. But as children are reading it, they're learning all these different things, like England and France, and then Italy, and then, you know, eventually Eastern Europe and Russia. So it's mm-hmm. it's great. I mean, geography, art, architecture, and culture, you know, mixed into it.
Mm-hmm. What would you say the central theme is to the Britfield books?
Family. Yeah, and that's a great question. I would say, because we have all these different themes in it, but I think the number one theme of the book mm-hmm. series is family. The importance of family, what family means. And it's not just family like who you're born to or your immediate family. It's what family really means. And it's often friends or people that come into your life and you know, will do anything for you. And it's like, as an example, you know, up at the orphanage, you know, all the orphans, you know, don't have parents, but they are their own family. They all look out for each other. They protect each other. And in order for Tom and Sarah to escape without getting caught, all the orphans have to sort of stage a huge distraction, if you will. And so they're risking getting caught and punished. And they're doing all of it just so Tom and Sarah can escape, because for them, even if one or two orphans can get out of this horrible place, Weatherly, then they all sort of can escape from it, if you will. Every day that Tom and Sarah are free is another day that they kind of live through them. And so it really is. It's about family and then friendship, loyalty, and courage.
Mm-hmm. It also seems to me, you've pointed this out yourself, that it's more realistic fiction than fantasy, which is something cool that I've never really been introduced to before.
Yeah, and it's interesting too. Like, you know, I was a history major and a European history and English major, double major. And people, you know, often say, gosh, what do you do with that? And I would say everything and anything. But it was a wonderful way to incorporate it into the books. And it's wonderful to get feedback from, you know, 12, 13, 14 year olds that sit there and say, you know, I love all the history or the different countries or the architecture or the culture or the references that you use, you know, cathedrals, museums. And it's a lot of fun for me. I mean, these are all places I've traveled, you know, I've traveled about half the world, you know, in my adventures. And so I try to bring in that authenticity and that fun of it, you know, into the story. But I think it's a harder type of book to write, in my own opinion, because you don't have those devices. If I write myself into a corner, if I'm trying to make it as realistic as possible, then I got to figure out ways to get out of these situations that make sense. You know, I think as a writer, you can suspend reality a little bit, you know, or bend it just a little bit, but you don't want to do that too often. But if you're, you know, in the Chronicles of Narnia, you can do whatever you want, you know, and in the world of Harry Potter, you know, again, it can be, you know, a new spell or a cloak, you know, that you can make yourself invisible. You know, they can introduce these devices because they're creating it out of nothing. For me, it's like, you know, I'm like, just to give you an example, I'm working on book four now. It's about 70% finished. And last week, you know, I'm researching and I'm researching every single day. And so starts in Vienna, Austria. And so I'm literally like in April. And so I'm looking up, you know, what kind of flowers are growing in Vienna in April? You know, how big is this park and how long would it take to walk from one end to the other? Or how long is a train ride from Vienna to Prague, you know, or from Prague to Warsaw, Poland? These are some of the cities that book four takes place in. And, you know, train times, how much would it cost? How fast does the train move? What's the daylight? You know, when does the sun come up? When does the sun set? Just all these little bits of detail that it's not saturated with detail, but it just gives it that sense of authenticity. And so I really go that extra mile, if you will, to make sure that it's as realistic as possible.
Mm-hmm. What is one thing that you've learned on the journey of writing these books?
So many things have come out of it that one could not plan, which is exciting. And I think not only the impact that we're having in the literary market, and in many ways, I think we're raising the bar, you know, with the Britfield series, because right now the market's sort of saturated with the fantasy. But it's the impact that we've had on literacy. And I know that because we're getting feedback from librarians and teachers all the time that, you know, they'll have reluctant students, mostly boys, that are, you know, 13, 14, even 15 years old, that just don't read. They don't read books. They don't read novels. And they'll get and they've already read the book. The librarian would read the book, and they offer it, you know, to the boy or the girl. And like 2 or 3 days later, they come back and say that, you know, I read the whole thing cover to cover. And so we're having that kind of impact on reading and literacy. We're sort of igniting that interest and excitement for reading. I'm also seeing that carrying over to the parents, because they're seeing their 12, 13 year olds just absorbed in the Britfield books. I mean, I'm getting feedback mm-hmm. that, like, you know, loved book two, you know, my child just read it in like 2 days, or there was one woman, you know, her son read it in one sitting, you know, just like sat there and read it. And she says, and so now they're reading the books along with their kids and sharing and talking about it. And I love that. I love bringing back the gift of reading and the gift of literature, not just to the kids and the children or students, but to the families.
Mm-hmm. Were the characters' names chosen for a reason?
Yeah, it's a great question. And it's always kind of challenging to come up with unique names. And so, like, you know, so like in book one, we have Mr. and Mrs. Grievous, who are the caretakers of Weatherly Orphanage, and they're just despicable people. So it was kind of fun to have that name. Speckle is the superintendent. Detective Gowerstone is the one that chases them. Professor Hainsworth is someone they meet at Oxford University that helps them along their journey and to help them get to London. And so those kind of names I sort of created, which were fun. And then sometimes, like, the name Sarah, you know, who's the main character, she's based on someone that I actually knew in England of the same age, Sarah. And so I kind of based that character on her. And then I just like that name, Tom. What's interesting, it's a very simple name, but there's a royal connection with Britfield, and there might be a royal connection to Tom. And so I like the idea of the simplicity of the name Tom, who may have, you know, an extraordinary adventure ahead of him and be tied to the British royal crown. And so names are really important. I play a lot with those names. As you go into different countries, like in France, you know, there's Inspector Fontaine who helps Tom and Sarah. And so as a little shout out to the Victor Hugo novel. But I sometimes I'll spend like 30 minutes, an hour, you know, looking at like I'm in Eastern Europe right now. Mm-hmm. So I'm looking at Polish names. I'm like, so who's this character and what's a Polish name? And, you know, like, no, I don't like that. I don't like that. I don't like that. And so I do. I spend a lot of time on the names. I mean, there's so much that's in a name, if you will. And yeah.
Well, that's great. Tell our listeners how they can find your book online and follow you.
Yeah, it's fun. You should check out our award-winning website. It's Britfield.com, B-R-I-T-F-I-E-L-D, Britfield.com. It's got over 400 pictures of England. So everywhere where Tom and Sarah go are real locations. And so if you're reading the book, if you're teaching it, we have an 83-page study guide based on national standards. So we're actually being taught in hundreds of schools across the nation. We're in thousands of schools already. So the website's really great to buy the books. You'll get signed copies and explore. It's fun. We have interactive maps, you know, so you can... It goes in sections, so you can start up in Yorkshire, and then you can, like, sort of zoom in, zoom out, kind of see where Yorkshire is. And then we have all these beautiful pictures. You know, what does Yorkshire look like? The rolling moors and the castles. And so, you know, we spent, 6 months and an exorbitant amount of money creating the website. So.
Wow, that's fantastic. Well, Chad, thank you so much for joining us today.
Hey, it was a pleasure. It was great to be on. Thank you.